Very interesting, the sounds of Quincy Jones in the background. In the foreground, we present Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, better known as Quest Community Vibration. Music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you once again to pull back our musical curtain and see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment, where we attempt to indeed make waves, indeed vibration. So thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, student host Walter Pierce gives a different perspective of matter, Madam C.J. Walker of the Week. As we promote financial literacy, his definition will define the rule of 72. For his curtain of the week, he will focus in on the legendary Quincy Jones. His co-hosts will include Tanisha Gardner, Tamir Davis, Shelton Harris. And of course, phone callers will have the last and final say as they provide questions and or comments about today's program. So, without any further ado, I introduce to you our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. Walter, good morning, my brother.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. And to continue on with today's show, I would like to get into my first segment of today, which is diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, again, my diamond segment for this week is on Madam C.J. Walker. And see, she was born Sarah Breedlove on December 23rd, 1867, on a plantation in Delta, Louisiana. And she was one of six children. She was orphaned at the age of seven, and Walker lived with her older sister, and they worked in the cotton fields. She ended up escaping, and she married Moses McWilliams. And sadly, her husband died in 1887, and she became a single parent of her two-year-old daughter, Leela. Seeking a way out of poverty in 1889, Walker moved to St. Louis, Missouri, where four brothers were barbers. There, she worked as a laundress and cook. She joined the AME Church, where she met leading black men and women whose education and success likewise inspired her. In 1894, she married John Davis, but the marriage was troubled, and the couple later divorced. Struggling financially, facing hair loss, and feeling the strain of years of physical labor, Walker's life took a dramatic turn in 1904. That year, she not only began using African-American businesswoman Annie Terrible Malone's, the great, wonderful hair grower, but she also joined Malone's team of black woman sales agents. A year later, Walker moved to Denver, Colorado, where she married admin Charles Joseph Walker, renamed herself Madam C.J. Walker, and with $1.25, launched her own line of hair products and straighteners for African-American women, Madam Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower. Initially, Walker's husband helped with advertising and establishing a mail-order business. After the pair divorced in 1910, she relocated to Indianapolis and built a factory for her Walker Manufacturing Company. An advocate of black women's economic independence, she opened training programs in the Walker system for her national network of licensed sales agents who earned unhealthy commissions. Ultimately, Walker employed 40,000 African-American women and men in the U.S., Central America, and the Caribbean. She also founded the National Negro Cosmetics Manufacturers Association in 1917. Her business grew rapidly, with sales exceeding $500,000 in the final year of her life. Her total worth topped $1 million and included a mansion in Irvington, New York, dubbed the Villa Loire, and properties in Harlem, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis. As her wealth increased, so did her philanthropic and political outreach. Walker contributed to the YMCA, covered tuition for 6 African-American students at Tuskegee Institute, and became an active in the anti-lynching movement, donating $5,000 to the NAACP efforts. Just prior to dying of kidney failure, Walker revisited her will and giving 2/3 of her net profits to charity, as well as thousands of dollars to various individuals and schools. And that concludes my segment on Madam C.J. Walker. Again, a great businesswoman, probably the is the pioneer for African-American men and women of business people that we have today. You know, she was the one who started it all and gave inspiration to lots of other African-Americans to start their own business. And again, I thank you for listening. And this is student host Walter Pierce, tuned in to 89.5 WSOU.
And I thank you so much for that segment.
We're going to come back, Walter, and I'm going to bring in the panelists, and we're going to talk about Madam C.J. Walker and give a different perspective on how she created the template for other organizations like Avon and Amway. But we'll talk about that after the end of this next song.
Fighting every pay tribute to a living legend. So I brought Naturally 7 with me.
Okay, so we're talking about living legend and one who's no longer with us, but left a legacy for us to talk about. Mr. Harris, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Talk to us about what you know about Madam C.J. Walker.
Well, you know, everybody talks about it being one of the first self-made millionaires in the country, and she was really a really good example of how to use multi-level marketing. You know, she would teach people how to be their own boss by first following her plan back and forth, like you kind of suggested, how they did in Amway and Avon and all these other little multi-level marketing businesses. You know, she really set the template for showing how these things can happen and how you can start out as a client and then turn into a distributor yourself and make money for yourself. It was an excellent program.
Okay. Thank you very much for your input. Tanisha Gardner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. I'd like for you to share any input or comment that you have about Walter's segment on Madam C.J. Walker.
I guess they pretty much said everything. It's like you said, it's a prime example. If they could do it then, we could definitely do it now. And we have to, I guess, take the model that they already set for us and keep duplicating it and keep, you know, replicating it so we could, you know, have more power.
Okay. And nobody said that so far. If they can do it then, we can do it now. Thank you very much for that perspective. That's something that we need to remember. We have our black librarian on the line, Mr. Tamir Davis. Good morning. How are you, my brother?
I'm great. Everything's good. I appreciate Mr. Pierce's story on Madam C.J. Walker. I think it's very interesting. But as I made mention in previous different sessions that we had, although she did great work and actually took strides to make sure that we collectively as a people can actually have some sort of input in terms of economics, there were others that did great work too in terms of if you look into you can look at A.J. Gaston, who did great work in terms of insurance, Atlantic Insurance Company that was started, Atlantic Mutual Insurance that was started by a black, his name escapes me right now, but it's still, today, that company is worth $500 million. And it started from a black person who was a former slave that actually helped develop that company. Even if you look at Wall Street where we actually trade today, there's a history of blacks. That was a black area, and blacks was actually thriving and developing different things on Wall Street. We can look at Tulsa, Oklahoma. We can look at Rosewood, where blacks were engaged in their own cooperative economics in their particular community. So there's numerous different stories of blacks thriving. There's been encyclopedias written about blacks who actually were prominent and were engaged in world affairs based on their economics. But those stories are very seldomly told and talked about in the classroom. And so what's happening today, if you look at black enterprise and black economics, it seems as if blacks has been involved, and if we look at the history of the country, the capitalism or the flow of the country actually stemmed from blacks engaging in free labor for the country. You know, we've always been a very important component as it relates to economics in this country and its impact throughout the world.
Okay.
Thank you.
You said a lot there. and it's a lot for us to intake, right? Walter, we're going to come back to you for your next segment and maybe even a comment after the panelists, right after this song titled Bossa Nova.
Yes, sir. See, what we're about to do right now is pay tribute to a living legend. So I brought Naturally 7 with me to do the beat. And I brought DCP's own Rudy Current. And me, I go by the name of Ludacris, right? And it's a lot of people out there claiming that they bosses, but I'm here to let you know the true boss is back. Let's go!
Different, free brother, true soul, boss is over. He's back on the fly. The true soul, boss is over. Better respect your roots, I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude's gonna back in motion.
He keep a flock of PYTs with him. Yeah. And they all exotic, erotic, come in groups of threes with him. Yeah. Pippin' all over the world and I really get it hot when I'm overseas with him. Hey. And when we in Bel Air at the castle, I shoot the breeze with him. Publishing checks is coming even when he stay in bed. So we eating at the master table and we breaking bread. New artist said he bossing up, but I tell them why I bother. They can't come close to Ludacris and his godfather. That's Quincy Jones, baby.
Hey. Be back on the fly. The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude coming back in motion.
Now they're looting them, let me through. I'm here to bridge the gap between the old and new. Said I'm a Casanova, Quincy, but put that, and I'ma put that. Same face, me mugging them, hugging the track like, ooh. I'ma make it do what it do, yeah.
The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude coming back in motion.
Okay, now we talk about being an advocate and an activist and a philanthropist, all wrapped up in the name, one name, entrepreneur, and that was Madam C.J. Walker. I want to welcome everybody back, and now it's time once again for Walter Pierce. And once again, good morning, Walter.
Good morning. And to continue on with the show today, I would like to get into my second segment of today, which is definitions. And see, this segment provides the listener with the words and their meaning so that we could achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today deals with financial literacy and is the rule of 72. Now, continue on with the show. We're going to start talking a little bit more about financial literacy and adding terms that you should take in so that you could be better financially. And see, the rule of 72, it's a simple way to determine how long an investment will take to double given a fixed annual rate of interest. But by dividing 72 by the annual rate of return, investors obtain a rough estimate of how many years it will take for the initial investment to duplicate itself. Now, what does that all mean? I'm going to give everybody an example. So let's say you invest $1,000 and you want to see how long your $1,000 would take to double. So this is what you'll do. You'll take 72 and you'll divide that by the interest rate that your bank account has. So let's say for this example, your bank account has 6% interest. You'll divide the 72 by 6 and you'll end up getting 12. And what that 12 represents is it represents how long it will take your money to double. So that 12 would be 12 years that it will take your money to double. So if you have $1,000 and you have a 6% interest rate, it will take 12 years for that money to double or for that money to get to $2,000. And that will continue all throughout. So for another 12 years, it will be $4,000. Another 12 years, it will be $8,000. And it will just keep going on. So, yeah, that is my definition segment for today. And a quick fact for y'all to take in so you could be better financially, the rule of 72. Thank you for listening.
No, thank you for sharing that, how we can, you know, make extra money, get a higher return on the rate of return. Okay, what am I talking about? Somebody help me out. Yeah, Mr. Harris. Wait a minute. You're pretty good at math. What was he talking about?
Yeah, well, he was talking about trying to double your investment. And the rule of 72, it really shows you how it happens, but it doesn't happen easily because he was talking about a 6% interest rate. I would love to find somebody that you can find a 6% interest rate now, you know, but the concept of the division of 72 into the amount of money and the interest rate, you know, it shows how, first thing, how easily it is, and you have to understand that money takes a minute. Even at 6%, it took you 12 years to just make another $1,000. And then if you had another 12 years, that's 24 and 36 years. So your $1,000 only made it to $8,000 in 36 years. That's a long time if you're older and you're trying to do this. But as a younger person, those kind of investments, and this is if you don't add any more to your principal, this is the kind of stuff that we need to start looking at. And, you know, and this is how we'll be able to build generational wealth and stop waiting to start from zero every time the next generation comes through. And it's something good to know. It'll at least give you an idea of how you got to make this move.
Yeah, well, we thank you so much. And I'm sure Walter was using the 6% as an example so that you can capture the point that he was saying. But, Walter, don't let me speak for you. Come back in here, interject. What do you think about Mr. Harris's comment?
Nah, he was definitely right. I was laughing when he said, you know, he wished he could find something like an account that has that high of an interest rate. But, yeah, you got to agree with what he says. And just going back to what I'm saying is really the goal for that is just to be able to find the highest interest rate bank account possible. So, you know, it could take the money even shorter to double. But, you know, he's right. It is hard to find that, but you just got to do your research, and hopefully you'll come across one that fits your needs.
Okay. Thank you once again. Tanisha Gardner, did you learn anything here? Do you have a comment?
Like you said, we had a good interest rate. I don't know. It's a long time to get $8,000, but it makes you want to do more research to figure out how to really make your money work. And financial literacy is very important. Walter, what made you choose the rule of 72?
Yeah, so what made me choose the rule of 72 is, you know, I wanted to start incorporating financial terms to the show. I wanted to start including more things about financial literacy. And the thing I initially learned, and probably one of the first major things I learned when I was going over financial literacy, was the rule of 72. And I believe it's like very basic, but it's probably one of the most important things for everybody to learn once you start getting into financial literacy. Yeah, that's really why I chose this word for this week.
Okay.
That's something that actually stood out in your mind. To share with us today. And we want to go to the Black Librarian, Tamir. Good morning again. Talk to us.
Good morning. How you doing? It's interesting that you brought up the rule of 72. I heard those financial models and different type of retirement plans and annuities and so on and so forth in the past. And it leads me to bring up the person I was talking about in terms of the Atlantic Mutual Life Insurance Company was Alfonso Herdine, who was the first black who actually started out dealing with a spy company and black spies were here and so on and so forth, and eventually invested into Atlantic Mutual Insurance Company. But those models, the rule of 72 is something that's basic, as you said earlier, and but the thing is that not just dealing with the rule of 72, the average in the urban community, average person in a home don't have life insurance. So in terms of transferring wealth, if somebody was to pass away, if you go to most funerals that I have been to, most in experience, people have to actually pass the pot around to be able to pay for the death benefit. So, I mean, you know, mutual funds and annuities, those things are very important. Pension, all that's important because in many instances when a person dies that was the breadwinner in the family, they own a home, the home is lost, the car is lost, all those different type of things. So people have to begin to start thinking about developing some sort of financial portfolio to transfer wealth, transfer intergenerational wealth, which is very important. And that's why it was important that you brought up Madam C.J. Walker and that I brought up the name Alfonso Herdine, who actually created an insurance company that still exists today. And he was one as far back as 1858 in Atlanta. So we had to always consider the importance of engaging in some sort of intergenerational wealth, whether you're dealing with intellectual property, copyright, whether you're dealing with, we have to look into all that type of stuff, because once the breadwinner family is no longer there, then how is the family going to be able to thrive and continue to move forward?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that input and remembering the gentleman's name. What we want to do right now is musically transition into a song titled Energy, and that's something that we're transmitting here in this particular program.
Spending so much time with you always on my mind. My brother, I just can't explain. The energy is off the chain between us.
okay, I'm trusting that you can feel the energy, and I want to talk about another Aesop fable. Now, this morning I have something interesting and something that goes along with today's theme. And this particular fable is titled The Lion, the Bear, and the Fox. But first I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, specifically you adults out there in the listening audience, there's something that you can learn that you've probably learned already that I want you to take a listen to so that you can learn again. This particular fable, The Lion, the Bear, and the Fox. You see, a lion and a bear seized the kid at the same moment and fought each other and were faint from the long combat. They lay down exhausted with fatigue. Now a fox, who had gone around them at a distance several times, saw them both stretched on the ground with the kid lying untouched in the middle. He ran in between them and, seizing the kid, scampered off as fast as he could. The lion and the bear saw him, but not being able to get up, said, "Woe be us, that we should have fought and belabored ourselves only to serve the turn of a fox." So rather than me give you the moral of the story, let me start with Walter, right? And it's okay if you don't get it, but maybe you do. What is the moral of the story, Walter?
Yeah, I was really going to ask you that because I'm really, still trying to process and understand it. So I think if you give, the audience, really the more of it, I'll probably understand it better.
Okay, not a problem. I'm not going to read it again. I'm not going to give out any clues, right? I'm going to go to Tanisha. Did you figure out the moral of this particular story?
Yeah, they was wasting their time fighting each other. Because at the end of the day, the end result was getting a child, but they was too busy competing against one another instead of focusing and staying in their own lane to get the child. And then the other person, I guess with the other animal, was watching in the back. And the fox basically, I guess, was premeditated. He just allowed them to scuffle amongst themselves. And then went in and got the child.
Okay. I'm going to go straight to the Black Librarian, Tamir Davis. What's the moral of the story? What do you get from this particular
In my mind, and I just sum it up the best that I can. Maybe I may not get it. But I believe in the words of Louis Pasteur, chance favors a prepared mind. The fox was prepared. He sat back and watched, looked at the situation, and he availed himself and pursued it at an opportune time.
Wow. What an intelligent answer. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear him clear his voice at the end? Okay, yes, I'm having a ball over here. Mr. Harris, your interpretation, what do you think the moral of this particular story is? And I want to say at this point that nobody is wrong.
Oh, yeah, well, like sometimes when people get into situations, they lose their focus on what they were trying to do in the first place. And that opens up opportunities for other people to take advantage. And that's what the lion and the bear did. They were so focused on fighting each other that the fox was able to grasp the opportunity of grabbing the kid. And it was something that you have to stay focused on certain things. And they didn't. And they lost.
And the moral of the story is, it sometimes happens that one man has all the toil, meaning all the work, and another all the profit. And I chose this particular fable because it relates to me and our community, where sometimes, not all the time, some but not all, we find ourselves fighting amongst each other for someone else to steal, to steal the money, to steal whatever it is collectively that we have fought so hard against each other to have. And, Walter, if that makes any sense to you, I want you to put that one in your pocket. And now I come back to you, Walter, and ask you, what do you think about this particular fable?
Yeah, now I get the better understanding. You know, I want to thank, you know, you, Ms. Tanisha Gardner, Shalyn Harris, the Black Librarian, just all y'all for your input. And, yeah, it gave me the input, you know, just competing with each other. Everybody, I feel like, should more help each other out more than always wanting to compete against each other. And that's really what I got from it.
Right. Because there's truly more to gain collectively than there is separately. And now I just want to continue and play the first song that I can reach out and find. And, you know, that's always a mistake for me. This song is titled Expressly. Let's check it out.
I've been trying to get to you for a long time. Cause constantly you've been on my mind. I was thinking about a shortcut I could take, but it seems like I made a mistake. Well, I was wrong. Ooh, took too long. I got caught in the rush hour. The fella started to shower you with love and affection. Now you won't look in my direction. On the expressway to your heart. That expressway, not the best way. At 5 o'clock, it's much too crowded. You know it's much too crowded. So crowded. It's much too crowded. Got caught in the rush hour. Bella started to shower you with love and affection. Won't you look in my direction? I'm expressway to your heart. That expressway, not the best way. At 5 o'clock, it's much too crowded. You know it's much too crowded. The whole crowd.
Okay, now we're back. I'd like to turn it back over to Mr. Walter Pierce, and it's time for your segment of curtain. And, of course, I will oblige you by presenting the introduction for this particular segment. Chains of Events is an exposure and analysis of the artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But this is a particular segment where we examine and look into the benefits that the community has gained from the artists. Curtains is a review of the musical growth and history and the impact of the particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. Musical and lyrical and consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time and CD releases. I always say we live in the time of streaming, right? I'm stuck in the vinyl, y'all. Okay, let me stop. Curtain serves best as an introduction to and an expiration of a particular artist's, and this particular morning, his genius, right, and involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Walter, I hand it over to you.
Thank you. And my Curtain segment for this week is Quincy Jones. And see, Quincy Jones is somebody who was also very active in charities and foundations. And I want to list off some charities and foundations that Quincy Jones is very prominent in. The American Foundation for AIDS Research, Artists for a New South Africa, Barbara Davis Center for Childhood Diabetes, Boys and Girls Club of America, Celebrity Fight Night Foundation, Children's Mending Hearts, Elton John's AIDS Foundation, Exploring the Arts, Fulfillment Fund, GLAAD, Global Down Syndrome Foundation, Jazz Foundation of America, Keep Memory Alive, Music Cares, Nelson Mandela Center of Memory, Prostate Cancer Foundation, the Treatment for Treatment Action Campaign, the UNICEF, United Negro College Fund, Usher's New Look Foundation, and We Are the World Foundation. And also, he supports numerous causes, and the causes he really supports AIDS, HIV, Alzheimer's, at-risk disadvantaged youth, cancer, children, civil rights, creative arts, diabetes, disaster relief, education, health, human rights, and many other causes, actually. But just to recap, it's just, this is why I like doing these current segments, because it also shows what, you know, what the singers does, not just on the stage, but behind the stage, which is just as prominent, being able to use your influence to give back to at-risk people, people who are discriminated against in this country, discriminated in the world, and just need the help. So again, not just with the jazz piece and all of that, but also with, you know, just the support that he gives to the community. I want to shout out Quincy Jones. And, you know, I would like to pass it on to the panel. If anybody else has anything they probably want to add musically about Quincy Jones, that would be helpful.
Absolutely. We're going to go straight to Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, talk to us and educate us.
Well, Quincy Jones, you know, everybody has heard the name, and but he came from real humble beginnings, you know, and he started out as a trumpet player, you know, but his real expertise was in orchestration. Like, he orchestrated a lot of Count Basie stuff, and he did a lot of when Count Basie was playing the band for Frank Sinatra. That's really what got him known in the music world as a great arranger. And it opened up opportunities for him. He became one of the first black directors in Columbia Music. And, you know, and he was able to pull in different artists, you know, like his one of his best friends coming up was Ray Charles. You know, and he, as far as accolades, he's won numerous Grammys, Oscars, you know, American Choice Awards, you know, and his main thing, you know, I can't say it enough, he knows how to take a song, break it into like 1,000 pieces, and then put it together and let you hear stuff in the music that the original song never allowed you to. He was a great musician and artist, and a lover of musicians and artists. And his productions have always been to, like, next level. You know, he was the one that blew Michael Jackson up. Everybody think Mike was doing his own thing, but Quincy Jones blew him up. You know, and he brought the Brothers Johnson. He did Patty Austin, James Ingram. And the list goes on and on.
you know, the brother, and he's very conscious. He does things like Walter was saying, a lot of different organizations. He definitely has his hand in all that. There's nothing really negative I can say about him, and he's still out here doing it.
Okay, and we don't want to promote any negativity here, right? Before we have the sound, the tune, Killer Joe in the background, but as we continue with Quincy Jones in the background, I want to put our audience up in the foreground, right? And I want to say today's show exemplifies what we are about and the message that we're trying to send. And that is, it's paramount for us to work together. It's very important for us to become business owners ourselves and entrepreneurs. But more importantly, we must never forget to become an activist in the process. The activism that advocates improvement for our own community and to rebuild within ourselves, because it can't happen unless it happens inside yourself first. And that being said, I want to bring in our audience. Val, what did you think about the show? We have plenty of time. I don't have to rush you off the line. Take it away and talk to us.
All right. Good morning, Quest. And I want to thank Walter for highlighting financial literacy in the program. Him mentioning the rule of 72 and all of the other comments from the panel was a good segue for me to introduce an investment company that I'm a member of, and it's called SKIG. And what SKIG's vision is to inspire individuals of African DNA to commit to make a recognizable and measurable difference in our financial future. By demonstrating that, we can too retain the dollars in our community and beyond. 6 hours greater than 24 hours like other cultures. Our mission, major investments in the three basic needs of food, major supermarket, shelter, initially 4 to 10 family, home, and clothing provider, manufacturing and or distributing. Now, I have been in this investment company for 3 years, and when you kept mentioning 6%, that is the average interest that we have gained on our investments in this organization. Now, from December 19th to December of 2020, we had an incredible interest accumulation of about 18%. But on average, we have for the past 6 years that we have been in operation have accumulated 6% interest each year. We have not gone below 6%. And so I'm mentioning this because this organization is open to other people to invest. Now, initially we started out around $1,400 in investments. Now our investment organization is over $105,000. So as we invite and gain more investors who invest more money, which helps us accumulate more interest, our portfolio is going to continuously increase, and we will then be able to tackle those core investments like investing in supermarkets and residential properties and also clothing distribution, those types of things. So we invite anyone who's interested in joining our company to consider investing in SKIG, and if there's any information that you need from us, our website is SKIG, and that's SKIG4U@gmail.com. And that is our website. If you do have further information or have further questions that you'd like to ask, or become a part of the SCIG family. That is how you can contact us, or Mr. You know, if you reach out to Mr. Bay, he can also forward any information to us as well. But I do appreciate you adding financial literacy to the program, because it's very beneficial, and the audience can learn different ways in which they can start increasing their economic footprint. Thank you so much.
No, we want to say thank you for your input and that information. I want to bring in Calvin. Calvin, you're on the line, part of our audience regularly, and we appreciate you. Any question or comment for today's program?
No question. Just a comment. It was a great show. Love the information. Love the information that was submitted and provided to all of us. You guys are a great panel, and keep up the good work. Also, I'd like to give traveling mercies to Walter. He will be on his way visiting colleges in the South. So traveling mercies to Walter.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, Walter. I'm going to bring in the Black Librarian real fast for a quick last word, and then Mr. Harris.
Okay. Hello?
I want to bring in the Black Librarian and then Mr. Harris.
Hello, I'm here. Black Librarian is here.
Okay, yeah, for a last word.
Great show.
Okay. We served your therapy. Mr. Harris, I want you to give us a going away song, one that you're going to request for me to play, and last word.
Last word is financial literacy is very important, and a lot of times we get tied up in stuff, but so the last song will be Contusion, if possible.
Okay. I think we can make that happen, Mr. Harris. I want to thank all the panelists, and more importantly, safe travels for Walter Pierce on his college tour. You're going to love it, right? It's beautiful. I've done it before. And that being the last word, everybody, Quest Youth Radio is the best,
the best youth radio.
Thank you very much.